practicing gratitude, contentment, and thanksgiving. We focused mostly for this entire series on contentment and how important contentment is. Rock, does this sound okay to you? Okay. How important contentment is to our well-being as believers. And contentment plays a huge part in, excuse me, miss, did you get, oh, she got saved. She moved up close. I'm just, you know, I'm used to people being in certain places. I looked up. You got a new lady here today. I'm sorry. So contentment is a very important part of us knowing that God is sufficient. I don't have everything I want, but I know God is sufficient. I don't sometimes have everything I need, but I know God is still sufficient. And it is the idea that he's enough. Here's an interesting statement. I don't know if you can make this statement. I can make this statement with a sincere heart. That if God doesn't do one more thing for me, he's already done more than he should have. In other words, because you do realize that you can't take your next breath without God. I know that. Well, there's no scientific proof of that. There ain't no scientific proof of a lot of stuff y'all talk about. You can't do it. And so when you understand that he's enough, what you're saying is that if he decides I don't have another breath left, I'm good with that. Guess what? If he decides I can heal you, I'm just not going to. I have to be okay with that. Because that's what it means to really be content and to be satisfied with who he is. That my relationship with him is not predicated upon anything that he has done or anything that he will do. It's predicated on him being who he is. And just being who he is my all-sufficiency. Does that make sense to anybody but me? Okay. All right, so today's lesson is titled Focus, Contentment, and Anxiety. Focus, Contentment, and Anxiety. We're going to use our principal text, Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Let's jump right to it. This is Jesus speaking. I know this because I was there. No, I'm kidding. I know this. What'd you say? Move to the back row. Move to the back row right now. Oh, you get up, go to the back row. You're not welcome on the front row no more. Matthew 6. I need somebody. Deacon, I need you to screen who's coming to this front row. Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? It's funny, I'm reading this after Thanksgiving. Is not life more than food? Couldn't tell a couple days ago. And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's interesting that Jesus says, hey, take no thought for what you're going to eat. I told you, it's kind of funny because, you know, we had so much food for Thanksgiving. We ran out of freezer space. I got food in the freezer in my office from Thanksgiving. We ain't had no more freezer space. Praise Jesus. And, you know, the mac and cheese ministry was in full effect. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I got one honest person in this church. Tell him again. Your name is Taylor? Okay. Tell him again, Taylor. She introduced herself to me earlier today. Thank you. Oh, you brought her. She said Barb brought her. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll get that straight later. Thank you. This church, man, I don't know what to do. So Jesus, he tells us, he says, hey, stop all this concern about this stuff. The other day, I was having a conversation with my wife. And we were talking about the holiday seasons and how when she was young, you know, I've never been a big tree guy at Christmas time. I'm not a big Christmas tree guy. I'm not a big Christmas decorations guy. And so we had to come to an agreement in my home because my wife and my daughter wanted a Christmas tree. So I told them, okay, get a Christmas tree. You responsible for putting it up. And so she told my daughter, well, if you want a Christmas tree, you're responsible for taking it down. So my daughter wouldn't take it down to her birthday, which is February 26th. So, you know, we had to look at that tree that whole time. So Carol made an executive decision and decided the tree didn't go up until December 24th. Okay? But she told me, she said, you don't really care for the holidays that much. I said, why would you think that? I said, I actually like them. She said, well, it never came across that you liked them. I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, you just kind of seem indifferent, you know, and so the tree and the celebrating of the holidays was kind of our thing. So I just kind of took it under advisement and began to think it through. You know, I wanted to understand why I was projecting this whole idea that I didn't like the holidays. Because I can tell you right now, we can celebrate Thanksgiving again today. I like Thanksgiving. All right. That's just my, you know, that Thanksgiving, that's my thing. Thank you. That should be a week long celebration, shouldn't it, Mother? I don't know where we got this stuff Thanksgiving Day. I don't know where they came up with that. We need to talk. I think Abraham Lincoln was the one who signed that into, we need to talk to him. So I began to just look within myself and ask myself, you know, why do you feel the way you feel about holidays? And one of the things that I've observed is that most of my adult life, even when I was a young adult, I just wasn't allowed the convenience of being able to fully celebrate the holidays. And here's why. I worked in a profession where at this time of year, by the time we start rolling around to Thanksgiving, I had to start preparing my staff and training them to be on the lookout for suicides. Because this time of year, from now until the first of the year, in the penitentiary. Now, these are people who they know they're there because they did something to put themselves there. And they should have known when they were doing what they were doing that if I get caught doing this, this means I'm going to have to spend a lot of time away from my family. And so, you know, the system isn't totally heartless. We gave them something that looked like turkey and looked like cranberries and looked like dressing. I would not advise. And so, but this was my reality, that every year I was dealing with the spirit of anxiety and depression, the spirit of just how can I enjoy this time when so much of my life is. So you would think, okay, but you ain't doing that no more, right? But this week I get a call from someone we love dearly, and the spirit of anxiety has totally gripped her. And she said to me, she said, "You are the only one that I can think to talk to that could maybe get me through this." Her and her husband both. And the first day, that means I talked to them multiple days. The first day I talked to them, I was on the phone for 3 hours. 3 hours. Trying to help this young lady deal with this spirit of anxiety. And let me just say this. I've worked around this stuff long enough to know it's real, even if it's only real to them. Did I say that okay, Charmaine? You're a psych major. It's real, even if it's only real to them. And so telling them that it's not real doesn't always help the situation. Okay, so you have two things you have to balance when people are dealing with anxiety and depression. You can't feed into the fantasy with them. In other words, I can't do anything that enforces their thoughts. At the same time, I can't do anything that devalues their thoughts. Because if I do either one, I lose my influence and my ability to help them. Are you getting this? So talked to her first time, 3 hours. Talked to her again the next day, another 2 hours. Talked to them again. The reason I was late for Thanksgiving dinner is because I was talking and dealing with this. And so the Lord began to talk to me about this whole idea of how we even get involved with anxiety, how we even get there where we get so, I mean, people can get so overwhelmed if they allow their mind to go to certain places. Now, can I be transparent for a moment? Can I be honest with you? If I allow myself to really sit down and think about, and I'm not saying that, listen, please don't think this is a political statement. This is me being honest with you. This is not, I'm not talking politics. I am being honest. I am showing you my heart. If I allow myself to sit down and really think of the possibilities of what a Joe Biden presidency can mean for my grandchildren, I can be overwhelmed with anxiety. Say what you want to say, but I'm telling you, the reason I've stopped Don will tell you, I'll talk politics with Don because Don's my friend and he loves me and we can talk. But he'll tell you, I don't get into those conversations with people. When people bring it up, I walk away. And here's why. Because I found myself feeling totally powerless, and that created this anxiety that I said, this is not the will of God. God's still in control. And so I had to turn the news off. I had to turn off CNN, constant negative news. I had to turn off Fox, conservative negative news. I had to turn it all off because all it was doing was creating turmoil for me and anxiety. And here's why, because it got me focused on something that I shouldn't have been focusing on. Are you hearing me? Now, am I saying that the issues of our society aren't important? That's not what I'm saying. Am I saying that how you vote isn't important? That's not what I'm saying. It is clear to me that how you vote is important. If it was never clear to me before now, it's clear to me now. But if we're not careful, this stuff will literally, not figuratively, it will literally drive us crazy. All right. Point number one. Never focus on things you know you can't change. I'm going to say that again. Never focus on things you know you can't change. Guess what? I can believe, listen, you can believe what you want to believe about this. I can believe what I want to believe about it. Okay? If you believe the 2020 election was stolen, that's your business, right? Question, can you do anything about it? So why are you focusing on it? And Jesus makes it clear that what we do sometimes is we put our focus on stuff we can't do anything about. Rock, I think you've been married the longest in the room. You guys just celebrated, what, 47 years? Yeah, that's right. 47 years. That's a wonderful thing. But here's the thing. You want to know why they've been married 47 years? They figured out a long time ago they can't change each other. And so they had to change their focus. They had to stop trying to make her the wife he thinks she should be and stop trying to make him the husband she thinks he should be. Because, see, when it comes to people, you can't change people. The Bible tells us that you only affect changing people by changing the way they think anyway. We don't start by trying to change the way people think. We try to change their actions. And it just doesn't work. And now you got all this anxiety and frustration over something that ain't none of your business. Something that you are powerless to do anything about. My kids are grown. I don't agree with all their choices. I thought I was doing a good job as a parent. Until my kids left home and I found out they was both crazy. I'm like, well, I looked at their mama and said, what did you put in their food? What is wrong with them? But here's what I realized. They grown now. I can't change them. You can threaten to spank them all you want to. It ain't going to work. Carla said you can't catch her, mama. That's what she said. Carla said you can't. Scripture. She gonna hit you right in church. And who of you, watch this, this is Jesus speaking in verse 27, Matthew 6:27. And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? So Jesus is telling us, why are you focusing on something you can't do anything about? Why are you giving that much energy to something you can't do anything about? Well, I just feel so helpless, and there has to be something I can do. There is something you can do. Pray. That's it. Because you ain't changing nothing. I'm a world changer. Okay, but not today. Not on this particular subject. And you just have to understand. Because if you don't, frustration is going to build, anxiety is going to build, and before you know it, next. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, watch this, Paul's getting ready to give you the secret to successful living. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, hey, here's what I've done. I've changed my focus. I've learned how to focus on what's important. I've learned how to forget the stuff. Listen, you want to know how far in the past the stuff that I've learned to forget. See, because some people can only forget the stuff that happened 5 years ago. There's people that can forget the stuff that happened 3 years ago. There's people that can forget the stuff that happened a year ago. I can forget the stuff that happened 5 minutes ago because it's in my past. As Paul said, forgetting the things which are behind, forgetting the things that are in the past, I'm going to focus on what God gave me to do. I'm going to focus on where God wants my focus. Are you hearing me? Next. Improper focus leads to anxiety. Improper focus leads to, what do I mean by improper focus? Focusing on the wrong stuff. There is nothing that will open you up to the spirit of anxiety quicker than you just being focused on stuff. Well, I wish he would get a job. Well, I wish she would get married. Well, when they gonna have kids? Guess what? You ain't got nothing to do with none of that. You ain't got nothing to do with none of that. Somebody said that there's 365 days in a year that you can mind your business and leave mine alone. We get way too caught up in just silly stuff. Are you hearing me? Because we're allowing our focus to go places it shouldn't go. The Bible talks about, I've told you this story before, the Bible talks about Nehemiah. He was repairing the walls in Jerusalem, and there were these guys who wanted to talk to him. Help me out. Yeah, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom. And the way they positioned it, they was smooth with it. Because they had already tried everything they could to stop Nehemiah. So they went the smooth route. They just kind of said, you're doing a good work. See how complimentary they are? You're doing a good thing here. They said, but why don't you just come down and talk to us so we can talk about our differences. Talk about we can reason through our differences. I love Nehemiah's response. Nehemiah said, why should the work stop while I come down and talk to you? In other words, I'm so focused on what God has me doing, I don't have time to care what you think. I'm so focused on what God has me doing, I don't have time to allow you to distract me. Now, people think when you don't want to be distracted, they think you're insensitive. They think you don't care. The fact of the matter is, I do care. I just have to stay focused on what God has given me to do. I can't fix that. I can keep doing this. Are you hearing me? Next. Matthew, watch this, 6:34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So now Jesus tells us, he says, hey, if you really want to know how to be successful, learn to live in the moment. Learn to live in the moment. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Now, some people, they take this to mean that Jesus said you shouldn't have a plan for the future. That's not what he's saying. That is not what he's saying. But what he's saying is that if your plan for the future falls through, don't let it cause you to lose your mind. Just know God's got another plan. You're going to be okay. In other words, if you lose everything, just know you ain't got to jump out of a window. You ain't got to end it all. God's got a plan to help you get what you need. Are you hearing me? I have this, I wrote this in my notes. In our principal text, Matthew 6:25-34, six times in these nine verses, Jesus speaks directly against anxiety. Six times. I find it interesting that he uses things which we would all agree are the necessities of life. Guess what? You need food. Jesus said, take no thought what you will eat or what you will drink. Do you know that most people don't starve to death? Did you know that? That when people go on hunger strike, you know what kills them? Dehydration. So here Jesus is, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Bruh, I should be a little concerned about what I'm drinking. Don't worry about it. And he takes these six things and he says, I know you would think these are important, but they're not as important as you think. Now, you have to understand, six is the number of man on the sixth day God created man. So six is the number of humanity. All right? So what he's saying is, even though you need this in your humanity, you can't let it become your focus. How am I going to make it without it? You will. I was telling my wife, we were at Charles and Babby's last night. And Charles and I got to talking about different foods that we've eaten over the years. And so we were talking. Somebody said they didn't like lamb. And I said, you don't like lamb? No, I don't like lamb. I said, okay. And so then we started talking about venison. And somebody said they didn't like venison. I said, you don't like venison? Oh, okay. And so then we started talking about other stuff, you know, turtle and, you know, other stuff that we've eaten. You know what I mean? I've eaten some of everything, eating turtle, squirrel, rabbit, yeah, eating all that. Now I'm great to tell y'all the same thing I told them. All them faces y'all making, if you can make a face and say, I don't like that, according to my grandfather, Benjamin Harrison Spencer, you ain't never been hungry. You ain't never been hungry. So now it makes sense for Jesus to tell you, stop worrying about what you're going to eat. Because you ain't never been hungry. You know? So we were, I need y'all to move. Y'all can't sit together. Yeah, that ain't the guess. We were riding, my wife and I were riding in our car with a young lady from Kenya, and she was asking us what we were going to have for dinner. And so my wife said, I think I'm going to make some greens. And so the young lady from Kenya said, what do you mean by greens? She said, you know, like collard greens, turnip greens, mustard greens. And the girl, we riding down the road, the girl pointed to the kudzu and said, where I'm from, that's greens. See, folks that ain't never been hungry. folks that ain't been hungry. Here's the difference between people who have had to eat some of this stuff I'm talking about and the people that are laughing while I'm talking. The difference is that I've learned not to worry about what I'm going to eat. That whatever God provides is going to be okay. I can remember I went home when I was a boy. I was probably 13, 14 years old. And I went home, Don, and I got home. And we were doing so bad at this particular time. The electricity was off. The water was off. And the only thing in the cabinet to eat was a can of sauerkraut. Now, you have to understand how much I hate sauerkraut. I hated sauerkraut. Listen to me. Did I say I hated sauerkraut? I hated sauerkraut. And I looked at that can of sauerkraut for 2 days. Because it took 2 days for me to get good and hungry. All of a sudden, when that real hunger started to hit, you know, because you know I'm actually going to my friend's house and drinking out of a water hose, and you know we had some real stuff going on, and now we out of school for a few days, so ain't no lunch program because they don't give you no food to take home. So, and the only thing, that's sauerkraut sitting in the cabinet just talking to me. Hungry yet? Want a bite? I'm still here. And y'all, I'm serious. I open that can. I got a, here's something else these rows don't know about. I actually got a manual can opener because the electricity was off. And I crank. Whatever. Whatever. They going and then they're gonna act like then they got to know to act like they offended, like yeah. Cause you told them to. Boy, y'all have too much fun in church. So I opened up this can of sauerkraut. And I remember pouring it in a bowl. I'm smelling it. Now, keep in mind, what did I say? Electric was off, water was off. We had gas. So I put it in a little pot, put it on the stove, heated it up. Y'all, I didn't have to pray long. I was beyond hungry. Hungry is what educated people get when they don't have three meals a day. Okay, I was past hungry. I was hungry. And I remember going in the refrigerator because I'm trying to find something that'll doctor this stuff up. And the only thing that was in there was some yellow mustard. Praise Jesus. Hey, y'all, make your face all you want to. Make your face all you want to. I put some yellow mustard on that daggone. And then I sat there for a few minutes because an old man had taught me this trick. I sat there for a few minutes and meditated about a hot dog. I just sat there and meditated about a hot dog. I just fixed my mind on a hot dog. And for some reason, when I started eating that sauerkraut with that yellow mustard on it, I was tasting a jumbo dog. I'm telling you, y'all think I'm playing. See, these Siddity folks, they ain't never, I'm telling you. Until your three square meals a day was oatmeal, no meal, and miss a meal, you don't know what she said Farina. She said Farina. The worst thing you can do is have Farina and not have anything to put in it because it doesn't taste like grits, I'm just telling you. Take it from me. I've experienced that too. But see, Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry about it. Now, it doesn't make sense. These are things I need. I need. You know, I know some of y'all like shrimp and grits, but you don't have to have the shrimp to have the grits. But I do need to eat something. And my grandfather taught me what I got today. I can't stand okra. Can't stand okra. I can't stand squash. So when my grandfather put okra and squash on the table, it didn't matter what meat was on the table. I could care less, long as I don't have to eat that slimy stuff. So turtle, rabbit, it was groundhog. Y'all, man, y'all. She called a squirrel a tree rat, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Listen. When this Biden economy hit, they're gonna be lining up to buy tree rats from me. I'm gonna have tree rats for sale. I saw it first. They'd be out there fighting over it. I saw it first. Last point. Oh, Philippians, watch this. Philippians 4:6. Watch this. This is another great point. He says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So now Paul tells us, he says, here's another great thing that'll help you overcome anxiety. He said, just be thankful. Be thankful. You want to know why people get into debt trying to afford cars they know they couldn't afford? Because they could not be content with the one they had. And the whole idea of like saving until I could afford the one I want, that's a foreign concept. So let me go out here and get 8-year financing. 8-year financing on a car that goes to 50% of its value the moment they title it to you and you drive it off the lot. But you and your crazy self, the Lord blessed me with a new car. God don't bless you with 8-year financing at 25%. That is not a blessing. He said, be anxious for nothing. One of the greatest things God ever taught me is how to wait. How to just go, I'm not saying no, I'm just saying not now. I'm not doing that right now. I don't need that right now. Now, I haven't always been this way. There was a time, Charmaine can tell you, there was a time when the new PlayStation came out or the new Xbox, I pretended like I was buying it for the kids, that I was trying to be a good father and make sure my kids had the latest toy. But that was my PlayStation. And I went so far as to have an agreement with a guy who owned a video store. As soon as they come in, bro, call me. Set one aside for me. So I haven't always been the guy that goes, I'll wait. But God taught me, be anxious for nothing. You don't need that right now. The Bible says this. The Bible says, death and hell are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. That's the Bible's way of saying you're always going to see something you want. The moment you buy a new car, guess what you're going to see? They're going to come out with a new model, and the only thing they changed was the door handles, but you just got to have it. That's all they changed, the door handles. And it causes you all this anxiety. I got to get it. I got to get it. I got to get it. Then you go from I got to get it to lying to yourself. God wants it for me. This is God's vision for my life. And before you know it, you get it. And now you got a whole nother form of anxiety. Because now you got a master. Yep. You thought you were getting it, but now it's got you. And now you have a master. Your master is whoever financed that loan. Because they're going. I heard a story of a guy. Now listen to this. I heard a story of a guy. You talking about how you can do just about anything and get rich in America? I heard a story of a guy who is running a buy here, pay here lease operation. So you lease a car from him with this huge down payment. You pay him like you would the bank. And when the lease is up, you just give him the car back. You can either get another car or you can just walk away. Listen. My man is literally printing money. Because there's something like 88% of the American population has bad credit. Now, here's how you know how bad your credit is. When you can't get an auto loan, that's pretty bad. Because they'll loan money to anybody. You would think it'd be easier to get a home loan. Can't take the house nowhere. Car, I could hide a car on Mars if I had to. I've been in that situation too. They was calling me. We just want to know where the vehicle is. I said, well, I could tell you for sure it's somewhere on Earth. Now y'all think I'm playing. That's exactly what I told them. I said, I could tell you for sure. I didn't move it to outer space. It's somewhere on Earth. They said, Mr. Spencer, I said, ain't my job to do your job for you? I wouldn't. That wasn't the Lord. All right, where we at? Now Jesus tells us what to focus on. Your focus should be on the kingdom of heaven. So what does it mean for our focus to be on kingdom of heaven? He says, focus on the kingdom and its righteousness. What is righteousness? Can anybody tell me? That's not a rhetorical question. Just shout it out if you know it. To do the right thing, even when no one's looking. Good answer. Anybody else? Okay, we'll go with that one then. Since nobody wants to challenge you, you student of the week. Righteousness is doing what is right, even when the world says you don't have to do what's right. Righteousness is doing what God wants, even when sometimes it would be easy to do it my way. Like I did when I told them the car is on Earth. I was doing it my way. I'm telling on me. Don't be looking at me funny. Like you ain't never done nothing sideways. Some of us got delivered from a real life, okay? I don't know what y'all talking about. Y'all been acting like y'all saved the whole life. I ain't never. Yeah, you lie. I lied to save a car. You lied over a water bill. Scripture. Matthew 6:31-33, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, the heathens, eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Watch this. But make your priority. When he says, but seek first, he said, make your priority his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, here's the problem we have. We have a bunch of people talking about their kingdom people, but they're not righteous people. You can't have the kingdom without righteousness. The kingdom and righteousness go hand in hand. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then, watch this, all these things. Now, look, even after you've sought the kingdom and righteousness, you still ain't rich. but you do have your necessities taken care of. You ain't balling like me. I ain't balling. My freezer's full, though. I ain't got to worry about what I'm going to eat. You hear what I'm saying? But you got to be willing to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. See, you're righteous when you'll do right when nobody's looking. It's easy to do right when everybody watching. Like the person who say, I don't steal. No, you don't steal because you know there's cameras in here. If they turn the cameras off and everybody close their eyes for 15 minutes, everything in here going to be gone. I'm just telling you. I know y'all want to act like, well, my son don't do that. Your son don't do that right now because we all watching him. Trust me when I tell you, he'll steal the shoelaces out your shoes if you don't watch him. Next. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Here it is. Casting all your anxiety where?
On him.
Casting all your anxiety where?
On him.
Because he cares for you. So now, he starts off by saying, humble yourself. One of the signs that you're walking in humility is that you don't have a lot of anxiety. What? Anxiety is a byproduct of pride. Because you need something to help you feel better about yourself. So you go out here and buy something you can't afford. Well, I was feeling down and I needed to feel better. And so I traded in my 2002 car for a 2021 and got 10 years financing. So you feel better, but you were struggling to take care of that 2001. And now you got a 2021 with a $900 payment. All because I didn't understand that my life doesn't consist of the abundance of things I possess. My life consists of the freedom I have in him. My life consists of knowing that he's the all-sufficiency. My life consists of the understanding that he's going to take care of all that concerns me. Let me say this parenthetically, that Jesus is not, in Matthew 6, he is not doing a Bobby McFerrin thing. Y'all remember who Bobby McFerrin is, right? That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not, don't worry, be happy. No, that's not what he's doing. What he's saying is, understand, I got you. Understand, I've got you. That if it's concerning you, it's a concern for me. I can't tell you how many times I was down to my last. And I said to God, I said, if you don't do something about this, you know I got some ways I can handle this, Lord. If you don't want to step into this, I got, you know, I still know some things and some people. Lord said, no, I got you. And out of the blue, I go to the mailbox, check, $500. Where did this come from? Or somebody calls me and says, hey, I took care of this for you. Why? Because God has always shown me, I've got you. What concerns you is a concern for me. And you just have to let me take care of it. Is that it? One more, okay. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So now, How do I have the peace of Jesus that I have to allow it to rule my heart? That means when anxiety tries to come, I have to say to anxiety, there is no place for you here. Because I'm allowing peace to rule my heart. And here's what I'm going to do, anxiety. I'm going to find a reason to thank God. I don't have everything I want, but I'm going to find a reason to thank God. I don't have everything I need, but I'm going to find a reason to thank God. I don't have the job I want, but I'm going to find a reason to thank God. Because in the end, in the final analysis, if I'm going to get through this life, I don't want to barely make it through. I don't want to struggle through. I don't want to be lamenting and regretting every day. Rock asked me something the other day. We were talking about some ways to make money, some business ideas and things. We were just tossing some stuff around, and he said, what do you want to do? I said, Rock, I said, I'm gonna be honest with you. I said, I'm doing what I love right now. I said, I love what I do. I love serving people. I love preaching the gospel. I love being there for people. They just don't pay well. So I've got to trust God. Are you hearing me? Because guess what? It ain't nobody's problem but his. See, I know who I work for. Are you hearing me? All right. All right. Come on, somebody give God a hand, praise. What do I do next? All right. Did it come back on? All right. Father, we certainly thank you for your word. We know, Lord, that your word comes to shape us, to make us, to mold us into the image of your son, Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority over anxiety, that we don't have to be anxious about anything, but in everything, we can give thanks, knowing that you care for us, knowing that you care about what we care about. You care about our every need. I pray for those, Lord, who in this holiday season are suffering through anxiety because they just can't get past the death of a loved one, or they can't enjoy the moment because they're stressed out about something. I pray that you would definitely encourage them, minister to them, send people to them with words of life. I give you praise for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, amen.
Amen, amen. Let's give the man of God a hand. This message was a good reminder for me, because I oftentimes I'm a forward thinker, so I'm always thinking about down the road and how to prepare and how to plan. But I also know that sometimes when I do that, it creates this anxiousness inside of me that I'm looking so far ahead that I'm concerned about things that haven't even happened yet, that haven't even showed up, that may never happen. And so this was a good reminder to stay in the moment, that each day has its own trouble. There's no sense in creating additional anxiety about things that I have no clue if I'll even ever get there. that there's no point in causing this frustration when, as long as I focus on the moment, as long as I focus on what I have right now, as long as I focus on Jesus, then I have everything that I need. So this was a good reminder for me that there is no need for anxiousness, that if I'm anxious, if I'm tense, then that most likely means I'm concerned about something that I shouldn't be concerned about. It most likely means I'm carrying something that I should be casting on to the Lord. And so I'm thankful for our pastor who preaches messages that don't always feel good, but they're good for you. So hopefully we all got something out of today's message. Hopefully it spoke to your heart. It spoke to an area in your life that needed refreshing. But before we end things, I want to give you the opportunity, if you have never accepted